Are you trying to find a career in sports? Maybe you're thinking about getting that next internship or job, but haven't gotten there yet. Or maybe you're thinking about getting into the industry as a whole. Today, I speak with one of the sports industry's leading podcasters. We talk about stacking habits, who you should be networking with, and what it looks like to have a leadership role in the field. Let's get started. Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. Today's guest is someone who lives and breathes a mindset of attitude, effort, and results. Tanner Natsky is the manager of premium sales for Tepper Sports and Entertainment, home to the Carolina Panthers, Charlotte FC, and Bank of America Stadium, and the founder and host of the Attitude, Effort, Results podcast. With a career spanning roles at the Phoenix Suns, Miami Dolphins, and multiple internships across the sports world, Tanner has built his path through persistence, networking, and a passion for helping others break into the industry. Through his coaching business and podcast, he's inspiring the next generation of sports professionals with real-world insights and actionable career advice. Thank you so much for being here today, Tanner. How are you?
Hey, Oliver, I appreciate you having me on. It's fun to be on this side of the camera. Typically, I'm the one interviewing or writing the own podcast episodes, so I'm excited to be on this side of the camera for you today.
Yeah, no, I bet it's a little bit of a change. And so for those who are, you know, just learning about you and the Attitude, Efforts, Results podcast, can you give a little bit more of a background about, you know, who you are, what you come from, and what you're doing now?
Yeah, so who I am and what I come from, I think, is a very unique question because I actually grew up on a dairy farm. So I'm a sixth generation dairy farmer who's had a good career in the sport industry so far, and one that I see going very far into the future as well, transparently, as long as my wife lets me. And so I really enjoyed getting into this industry. I had no idea that the sport industry existed. That wasn't even a realm of possibilities when I was in school. And so once I found the opportunity to get into sport, and I absolutely love what I do, then it started becoming important for me to give back. And so the podcast actually formed because so many people were reaching out to me. I'm a Midwest farm kid from Wisconsin. I then went to the University of Iowa, so very Midwest. I then moved to DC and then to Miami. And so were like, whoa, hang on. What's going on here? This is a very rural kid moving from basically the middle of nowhere to Miami. What's going on? And so I started talking to people, and the advice that I was giving was hitting with people consistently. And that's not a brag on me. And you'll see this throughout the podcast today, Oliver. It's about other people. And I wanted to find the intersection between how can I be really good at my job and value my current role, value time for my current role, but also give back to people. And so the intersection of that was, instead of saying the same thing to 40 different people 40 times, why don't I say the same thing once into a mic and let it live from there? The original goal was that people would stop reaching out to me. God is really funny, and that has been the exact opposite, and we've grown it from there. And so we've added a coaching platform. We're also launching an Attitude, Effort, Results Sales Academy in the spring semester. And so we've really developed this podcast, which was a passion project, into a one, legitimate business, but also two, an intersection where people can find and value information that is not shared about the sport industry and about business in sport.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I really do want to get into a little bit more of that advice that you're giving. But going back to the beginning too, I mean, focus on you a little bit. And again, you grew up middle of nowhere, like you said, moving to two of the biggest cities in the US. What was like the key to your success? Like, how did you personally break out of that and then meet all of these people and really make a name for yourself in the sports industry?
Yeah, I think there's two different things when I think about that question, Oliver. The first is Attitude, Effort, Results, which is obviously the name of the podcast, which I live by. And if I were going to explain that to somebody, I would use it as an equation. Okay. It's attitude plus effort equals results. In the sales industry specifically, I think this probably spans across business. People look at results a lot. How did that project go? If I'm on a sports team, how many points did I score? How many wins does a team have? Coaches in college sports and professional sports clearly get judged by wins all the time. in business specifically, when starting out, you cannot control results to the level of degree that you will be able to later in your career, because you need the knowledge and skill set to get there, and you just don't have it. And that's not your fault. That's the fact of time. You will never outrun time. And so having a good attitude and combining that with an awesome effort, those are two things that you can control. And I would go as far to say as, even if your results lack, if you have attitude and effort, you will get a promotion in that first role. And both of our audiences, Oliver, are young college kids and young professionals getting into the industry. I'll go as far to say is, you don't need the results to start your career. You need to show that you are continuously proving effort and continuously having a positive attitude, not only for your role, but for your teammates as well, because all ships rise with the tide.
Yeah. And so going into, you know, the two parts of that equation, which you can control, right? In the beginning, attitude and effort. Now, from an attitude perspective, obviously, it's kind of cliche, like have a positive attitude, right? Have a good mindset. What does that specifically look like for you? Like, is someone coming to, if someone came to you and be like, well, what should I really be thinking about? What should my mindset, what should my attitude be? What specifically would you say, you know, this is what you should be thinking about on a daily basis?
I think goals are important, Oliver. I hitch a commitment to a goal, and I'll hitch an action to a commitment. And okay. So where this really stems from is your mindset of how you work your daily lives. So if my goal is to have a good attitude, that's the overarching goal. My commitment is I'm going to 4 days a week say a prayer of gratitude, or I'm going to do a gratitude walk where for 5 minutes straight, all I say is the great things in life. It's really tough. It is really tough to, after 5 minutes of saying thank you, I'm a strong Christian. If you're not, that is okay. I'll never push that on anybody. Just say thank you into the wind for all the great things that are happening in life. It is really tough for after 5 minutes of saying thank you to God or to the wind to have a really bad attitude. Like, that's a really tough thing to do. And so that's my commitment, is 4 days a week. The action itself is the prayer, right? Or the saying of gratitude. And so anchoring a commitment to a goal and an action to a commitment gives you actionable steps on how to continue to build. Now, once you do that, now we can stack habits on top of habits. You can stack goals on top of goals. And so for me, I'm up early. The first thing I do is a prayer of gratitude. On top of that, I'll stack stretching, which is great for the body. And it also, I don't have music on right away. I'll stack 30 minutes of no phone time early in the morning. I'll stack journaling, and I'll stack a person of gratitude. So every morning I will text one person that I love them, that I'm thankful for them, that I'm grateful for them. Out of the blue, no reason tied to it, no selfish play on my part. And I don't get to say anything about recent events either. It is strictly, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm grateful, I'm blessed that you're in my life, and shoot that text over. And so as you continue to stack some of these habits and commitments, it becomes really easy to walk into work. And if you're the first one there, it's really easy to. You walk into work and to have this positive mindset, because before 7:30 in the morning, Oliver, I've already done 4 or 5 things that are raising my attitude before I see anybody, before I talk to anybody in the day.
Yeah, I like that idea too, of kind of stacking those habits, right? Because it's easy to do one thing or another thing in a vacuum, right? And things, you know, things will work, things won't. But for you to have like a certain amount of things, like 4 or 5 things every day that you're doing all at once consistently, like that's a big block of habits that you're doing. And like you said, it's easy to walk into work with a positive attitude after that. So I really like that idea of really stacking your habits. And then, so you kind of go on, you know, you're talking to all these people, you really break into the sports industry. For those looking to kind of build up their base in whatever industry they're in, whether it's general business or specifically sports, how can someone go about creating a name for themselves, right? Getting their name out there, and really having other people, you know your name.
Yeah, you and your audience are going to love this one because it's tough and it sucks.
Okay.
How's that? It sucks.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is the entire relationship building aspect is the most important thing that you will ever do in your career. I will say that again. Relationship building is the most important thing you will ever do in your career. I'm new to the city of Charlotte here working with TSE. I am frustrated right now because I do not know everybody in this city, and everybody around me seems to know everybody else. So I'm getting less leads because I have nobody to give me referrals. I'm having less conversations on a deep level because I don't know who they're talking about. I don't know who runs that company, and I don't know who's over there. And that's frustrating. And it's very frustrating when you start out, and I've done it way too many times in my career. I hope I stop moving around. When you start in your career, it is so important for you to manage up, call it networking up, networking down, and networking side to side. All three components are very important. People understand the importance of networking up. I think that's important, right? Everybody understands that. You should go talk to those above you. You should learn from everybody above you. Networking side to side, I think some people understand a little bit, but I would say 50% of the people that network up, network side to side. But guess what, Oliver? You and me are on the same playing field. Let's say you and me are on the same playing field and we just started together. All of us should grow together. So the connection with you right now as we start our careers together is not going to be impactful. However, in 4 or 5 years, it is. Because if you're surrounding yourself with good people, which are some of the five people you're around, you should be on the same level or have people that you started with above you or you're above, but you're all growing together. And that is where a lot of people lose. And then the third one, I network down consistently because people in 4 or 5 years that I'm helping get into this industry, they're one, some of them are going to work for me. I already have names pegged. I have an Excel sheet. That's part of the coaching business. Like they're going to work for me. Two, I might work for some of them, right? I might work for some of them one day, and hopefully my goal is to surround myself with people who are smarter than me. So I want to bring people on or work for people smarter than me. That's going to be networking down, is they're going to be better than me. And the third piece of networking down is you have no idea what connections they're making throughout their time. And so that's a massive piece. One, it's really, really tough, but networking up, sideways, and down is all very important.
No, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, it's one of those, it's like, again, back to the other cliche, you never know who you're going to be working for one day. And so for you to be networking down too, as well as up, which is obvious, like you said, I think is a really great piece of advice, especially as you begin your career. And this is maybe a little bit more tactical, but as someone who has switched cities multiple times, right now you're in Charlotte. And like you said, you don't know the people like you did maybe knew in Phoenix or you knew in Miami. How have you been going about meeting people? Like, is that, obviously you said it was frustrating, but how are you getting around that?
It's time, and time is the most valuable asset that we all have. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that relationships take is time. And so for me, I ask every single person to get coffee, lunch, or in Charlotte, happy hour is really big. This town loves to drink, which is, I feel like it's a sleepy town in terms of like quote unquote larger cities. This town loves happy hour. And so that's a little contradictory to what I enjoy doing during the middle of the week. But don't get me wrong, on the weekend, I'll have a beer or two. I'll throw one back. So for me, it's asking every single person to meet face to face. A phone call is important, but nobody will be able to understand my energy, my passion, my absolute love for connecting with people if they don't see me in person. And so whether that's a client, whether that's somebody who runs a country club, whether that's somebody who I just met with a kid the other day who just graduated from NC State, whether that's somebody who runs a real estate company that hopefully I can buy a house from one day, doesn't really matter who. If they're in the professional line and our goals are semi-aligned, I'm meeting face-to-face with them. And that means right now, that means 7:30 a.m. coffee.
Yeah.
No, because I need to work 8 to 12 hours a day because I'm drinking through a fire hose right now. So that means 7:30 coffee. And that means I get to do things like this on my spare time, which is late at night.
Yeah. I mean, again, appreciate you being here. I'm sure you've I mean, you've been up what now, like 15 hours already plus. So for you to have this amount of energy, you know, this late at night is very impressive. And it goes back to effort, right? Part of the equation, right? You're really putting the hours, which I really respect. I think it's amazing.
One thing that people, I think, I'm an early morning guy. So I'm up at 4:55 every morning. That's not to say I'm like pat myself on the back. That's because I need more time. That's because I have bigger goals than some people. I get more done before 7:30 than most people get done in the day. And I'm walking into work at that point. And so for me, it was actually from when I was in your seat, Oliver, when I was in school, I was up at 9 or 9:30 every morning. Mm-hmm. There's no way I set an alarm at 9:30 a senior in college. And then I set one at 4:55 my first week of professional work. I actually tried doing that and I went to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
My body shut down on me. When I got to Miami, my body shut down because I tried to do that.
Wow.
And so an actionable step, I actually thought I was dying. You took me back to that moment there for a little bit. Like, oh my gosh. I had my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, had to rush me to the hospital. I thought I was dying because my body just shut down. So an actionable step for everybody listening, as you're coming out of school, start trimming those hours because you're going to need to get up earlier. If you want to be successful, and everybody listening here, business isn't hard, right? If you want to build those relationships, you have to take an extra step. And I'm probably at 7:30 coffee 3 or 4 times a week, every single week since I've been here. And so start trimming that time back. Don't go from 9:30 to 4:45. Go 9:30 to 9:15 and do 9:15 for an entire month.
Yeah,
your body will never know the difference. And now go 15 more minutes. So I did that. I did 15-minute increments for 30 days. I was very regimented in what I did. 30 days, I met at that 15-minute increment, and I worked all the way down to where I am now. So that's another actionable step that that I've taken to get to where I'm at and why my body is now adjusted to it. It didn't early on.
Oh my gosh, that's an insane story. Yeah. No, I like, I mean, first of all, great actionable tip, right? Those are always helpful. And you're right. It's very different going from college to the workforce. And I want to ask, for those who are still in college, do you have any pieces of advice for that transition? Because that, I know, is a big wake-up call in a lot of ways. Clearly, it was somewhat of a wake-up call for you. What does that transition look like, and how hard is it to overcome?
Yeah, so I don't want this to sound woo-woo-y or anything like that, but I'm very into the psychology of sales. That's what I do. But the psychology of the mind as well, and how the mind actually controls the body. And so subconscious and conscious thoughts and beliefs are something that I think about and I study consistently. And so I want, if you're going from school to professional world, I want to understand what the environment I'm walking into is like. So if I'm in school, I'm going to ask somebody on the same level as me what that role is like. What are my daily jobs? I don't need to know the pay or anything like that. That's all fun and fine and dandy, right? But I need to know, like, give me the dirty, right? Like, yeah. I don't want somebody to pitch me the job, because if you're pitching me the job, you're going to tell me all the good parts. I'm going to call somebody on the team level who's going to be my teammate or has done my job. And the first thing I'm saying is, hey, Oliver, give me the worst part about this job. Like, I want to understand what well I am going to be sitting in when I get there. And now I'm going to go home and I'm going to visualize what that's like. What am I going to need to do to get out of that position or to get out of that well? What am I going to need to do to get promoted, right? And I'm going to visualize that. For me, I did that. I accepted my position with the Dolphins early February. So I did that from February when I started trimming back the clock or my wake up time. I did that. I visualized what it was going to be like. I visualized making 100 cold calls a day, which sucks, by the way.
Yeah, I bet.
But I visualized that. And so now I'm mentally preparing. So when I step into the office, let's say 10 of us are going to get hired at once, right? When I step into the office, I know what that looks like. And so on call number 50, when 0 people have picked up the phone, I'm not upset. And then at the next 50 calls, when 3 people told me to F off and I'm not having the greatest day of my life, I'm like, you know what? I've been there for the last 3 months mentally. And so your body doesn't know, or your brain doesn't know the difference between subconscious and conscious thoughts. And so you get to control, you get to trick your brain into what that looks like. And so along with setting back the clock to make sure you're ready to go physically, because that's important, doing that mentally and preparing mentally is also Very important. You are going to set yourself way apart because nobody coming out of school is doing that. And so when we talk about business isn't hard, let's do one or two different things to separate ourselves. That's a massive one.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? Just like the little things. And that's kind of the concept of the whole podcast is, right? It's like the little things will set you apart and that makes a massive difference. And I know this won't apply to everybody, but as someone who grew up playing sports, I know you've played a ton of sports and visualization is made part of like techniques that athletes use all the time. Was there a lot of crossover between like the values and the skills you learned in sports and then so compared to like what you're doing now selling? I mean, obviously you're in the sports industry, but it's business. It's very different. I'm curious like what the biggest crossover, what the biggest lessons you think have carried over across those two, you know, elements of your life.
Soft skills is a dying term, but I don't think it should be. Because the soft skills that you learn from team sports in general, the camaraderie is so important. I could have the greatest idea of all time. If I cannot communicate that to our marketing department, if I cannot communicate that to my vice president, that will never get done. So I could be the smartest person out there, but learning how to communicate and work with a team is massive. And the second for me is competitive nature. Like I walk into my office with a humble swagger, believing, maybe not actually being, but fully believing that I'm the best seller in that office. Yeah. And if you ask the rest of my team, I hope they have the exact same mentality. Mm-hmm. Because Coach Prime calls them dogs. There are dogs and there are leaders in this world. If we can combine the two, and we can all be that in the same office, where we are all dogs fighting for the same bone. We are all dogs fighting for the same sale on our side. But at the end of the day, we can be leaders and help each other in that battle. You got a team that is unbreakable. So communication / teamwork and competitive nature. You have to be competitive. And the tough part about the business side, there's not a lot of coaches that are driving you. And your coaches might be focused on different things than you. My goal right now is to purchase a house for my wife that we can live in for the next 5 years. My vice president probably doesn't care about me purchasing a house in the next 5 years. That's not his goal. He's got a wife of his own. He's got to take care of a family, right? So aligning goals is important, but being able to communicate that is what separates you.
Yeah, no, it really comes down to people in so many ways in your goals. And then speaking of leadership too, now, obviously, you've been in the sports industry, you've been out of college for a few years now, and you're leading a team, right? Especially on the podcast side with your Attitude, Effort, Results team, you're leading a team. Is there any big like learning moments as far as leadership goes? Like now that you're all of a sudden managing all of these people, you're going from like a real grinder, like I'm going to get all, you know, I'm the best salesperson, but you don't manage anybody, to all of a sudden you're in charge of X amount of people.
Yeah. So our podcast team has 9 people.
Yeah.
And none of us get paid.
Wow.
We don't get paid. So we have a coaching platform, which creates some revenue. And we're going to start the sales academy, which is also a revenue driver. That's been the one thing that is absolutely, I cannot figure out, is the revenue model. So if anybody out there understands the revenue model of a podcast that doesn't have 1 million followers, let me know. I'm still trying to figure it out. But having a team of 9 people who do not get paid, I have to sell a dream that is big enough for everybody's dreams to fit inside of mine.
Wow.
So I talk about ideas and I talk about theories that some people on our team don't get. And that's okay. That's my job as a leader, is to sell the dream, and it has to be big enough so everybody's can fit inside of it. That's one piece of advice that I learned that I'm still learning to do, because I grew up in a very sheltered home. If we'd be having this conversation, Oliver, 4 years ago, before I started this personal development journey, before I started my professional career, my mindset was very limited. Now I look at my wife, Callie, and I say, what kind of private jet do you want one day? And she's like, well, how about we buy a house to live in? I'm like, yeah, we're going to get there, but we're going to have a jet. Like, I'm going to get my pilot's license. I texted my buddy who's a pilot the other day and I was like, yo, what does it cost to get a jet? I might not be able to afford it right now. I 100% cannot. and I'm probably not close, and I might never be there, but I have to dream big enough so that when I'm talking to somebody who owns a private jet company, I understand what they know, right? Oh, yeah, it costs about 30 grand an hour to run this thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is what the pilots do. This is how many people. Give me these different type of PJs, right? Like, so I'm thinking bigger than everybody on my team, and that's how it should be. And hopefully that raises the level of their thought process as well. Another thing that I learned was delegation. So important. Yeah. So important. One of the things that I started, I really dislike social media. I personally am not on social media a lot. The only social account I have personally that I use is Instagram. And I'm on there, honestly, maybe 15 minutes a day. And that's if I'm super bored. And unfortunately, hopefully a police officer doesn't hear this. Like, it's typically when I'm at a red light, right? Like, there's nowhere to go. So for me, delegation was important, and finding somebody on the social side who is way better than me. And now the kicker is giving up control.
Yeah.
As a leader, you have to give up control.
Yeah. That makes sense. And it's easier for you to just do the thing, right? If there's a task, it's easier for you to do it, but you're never going to grow and scale if you don't train somebody to do that eventually. So that makes a lot of sense.
Part of that too, Oliver, is letting people fail, letting people fail. And there's some times on the social side where I fully notice that a post hasn't been posted yet. And we could go 2 or 3 weeks, that post might never get posted. Guess what? I'm going to come up in the monthly meeting and go, how does our social team feel this week? Knowing everybody in that meeting knows that those posts didn't get posted.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody knows that. And now it's up to them, if they have accountability, to say, you know what? I lacked here. And now as a leader, I go, hey, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen. I will go on social and start posting. I don't want to. That's not what I enjoy, and I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
But if that's your goal as our social media manager, is to have 25 or 30 posts a week, and we got 15 out last week, that's pretty short. But what can I do to help? So now I'm giving them full autonomy to run their business. And guess what? The girl who runs our social media just got a job with the Brewers, or an internship with the Brewers. And she now is in a position where she's going to work in a major sports team because she got to run a social team for us. And yeah, we made some mistakes. Yeah, there was a couple of posts that didn't get posted. Could I have done it myself? Yes. But I'm here to grow leaders. I'm not here to grow a social following. Would that be nice? Yeah, that'd be cool. But I'm here to grow leaders, and she's going to be a leader in this industry one day because I was able to give up control and give her autonomy, and she's pretty darn good at it.
That's super cool. And it's cool too, because A, you're providing the space, you know, you're providing the dream for her to do it. And then she's also deciding to do it, right? I mean, this isn't exactly the highest paying internship in the world, but it's a space for her to grow and develop. And that's what eventually got her to that internship, which is super, super cool. And so speaking of learning a little bit, I would love to get into a little bit of a lightning round. And the first question that I always ask is, what is your favorite business book or podcast? I know you have your own podcast, but something you've learned from.
All right. Favorite podcast is the Ed Milet podcast. 100% fully recommend the Ed Milet podcast. I've been listening for 4 years. It has changed my life and changed my mindset. The best book recommendation is called Change by Pastor Craig Groeschel, and it allows people the space to want to change, which I think is one of the toughest things humans deal with consistently.
Yeah, no, change is always received in a lot of different ways, we'll say. But so I love that recommendation. The next question I have is, what is your biggest pet peeve in business?
People that don't want to win. Losers. I hate losers, dude. I just hate them. They suck to be around. They suck the life out of you. My wife and I talk about it all the time. Batteries and vacuums. Who's giving you energy? Who's taking it? Losers just take energy. And everybody listening right now knows that person in their life. Get rid of them. I don't care if it's a family member. I've gotten rid of family members in my life. Like, get rid of them. People that don't want to win, that just sit here and are complacent and are losers, I'm not about.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I love that advice. Be a battery, not a vacuum. And I know we've talked a lot about relationships in people. Briefly, what is your best networking tip?
Remove the word networking and think about it as a relationship building tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be able to give, right, in that relationship. It can't just be an ask.
100%. Networking is a word that I think means I have your phone number, I have your phone number, I have your phone number, I have your phone number. That does nothing for you. Go build a relationship so they know who you are and you know who they are.
Yeah. Maybe I'll switch the question going forward. What's your best relationship building tip? Actually, I really like that. And again, I know we talked a little about leadership, but if you had to distill it down into a really key element, what is a skill that every single leader should have?
Delegation. For sure. Got to give up control. Got to delegate tasks because you can go do more now. I can go do more. I've been running since I woke up this morning at 4:55. But guess what? There's 100 different things around me that have gotten done because people have done them for, not for me, but for the brand, for the podcast. Even at work, I have people that are doing things for me and we can all move faster together. When you're good at what you do, you can do it better. So delegate for sure. Actually, yeah. Here's a second piece.
Okay.
80% done is better than 100% not done.
Do you believe in the 80-20 rule?
100%. So there's two different 80-20 rules. One of them is 80% done is better than 100% not done. That's one of the things that get it 80% done and just press send. Like if we have 30 posts a week on social, mm-hmm. that is way better or that are average. I would rather take that than one post that is absolutely perfect because the algorithm is going to catch and it's going to go from there. The other 80-20 rule that I live by in business, 80% of your business comes from 20% of your contacts. The top 20% of your contacts are going to provide 80% of your business. It is almost true in every single business. It's also true in law enforcement. 80% of your crimes are done by the top 20% of people. And so think about that when you're going and listening to people. You don't need to connect. You don't need to network with 1,000 people. You just got to get to the right person, the right top 20%, and they'll connect you with the rest.
Yeah, that's a really interesting piece of advice, right? Find your 20%. Find those people who give you that 20% value, or that 80% value, I should say. We'll finish with one last question in the lightning round. What is your go-to method for handling stress?
Breathing.
Breathing.
I actually have a breathwork coach.
Wow.
And so
I don't think a lot of people have that. That's really cool.
Yeah. I think it's important because stress is consistently around us. And so learning how to breathe, learning how to work through some of that stress, anxiety, worry, I do that through breathing.
Yeah. No, it's a huge thing. And it's something that I think, again, going back to cliches, people will take that for granted. But I think like when someone like you has really figured out the value in that, it just works wonders. Well, thank you again so much, Tanner, for being on. I want to end with this final question. If we had to wrap up everything we've talked about, what has been the biggest key to your success as a leader and just as Tanner?
Be yourself. Because I can truly sit here and say, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. And as a man and as a leader on multiple different avenues and somebody whose face is on social a lot. I don't post it, but my face is on social a lot. This world is getting consumed in what social sees. You'll never see the bad on social. And so ego-driven people, which I was, and I can confidently say this point because I was in those shoes not that long ago, be yourself because the world gets a lot brighter when you can talk to people. And yeah, some people are not going to like you, but who cares? God's not going to knock on your door in heaven and be like, hey, here's this person that didn't like you. They want you out of heaven. Like, we got to kick you out now. Right? Like, that's not happening. So obviously don't be respectful about people, but be yourself. Because at the end of the day, you have to answer to one person and one person only about your actions, and that's you. And about how you feel and about who you are, you have to answer to one person. And if everybody else in the world loves you, but you don't, it's a very lonely world. Vice versa, if there's only one person in the world that does love you and that is you, the world's going to look a little bit brighter.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Tanner, for being on. This was an amazing conversation. Thank you again. This is great.
You're welcome. I hope it impacts people. That's what we're here to do.
Exactly.
As we close out today's episode with Tanner, a few big ideas really stand out here. First, Lasting success isn't built on dramatic breakthroughs, but on small, deliberate choices we make every day. Tanner talked about the power of stacking habits, anchoring actions to commitments, and then commitments to goals. It's about gratitude walks, daily reflections, intentional breathing. These simple, repeatable practices give you the energy and mindset to show up at your best every single day. Second, business is ultimately about people. It's not just networking, but building genuine relationships in three directions. Network up with mentors who have already walked the path. Network side to side with peers you're going to grow alongside. And network down with those who are just starting out, because one day you might be working for them. And in this digital age, face-to-face connection still matters most. Relationships, not transactions, are what drives careers forward. Finally, Tanner left us with a leadership principle worth carrying. Dream big enough so that others can find a place inside your vision. The best leaders set goals that are bigger than themselves. They create a mission so wide that everybody who joins it has a space to grow, contribute, and succeed together, and then they sell that dream. Thanks for listening. This week, I encourage you to identify somewhere you want to be. Say, waking up at a certain time each day or going to the gym regularly. And from there, make a slight adjustment to slowly ease yourself in. Set your alarm 15 minutes earlier. Go to the gym one time this week. Whatever it is, start it, but start slowly. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.